Book of Romans, chapter 14. The book of Romans, chapter 14. Tonight is the first installment on a new series called You Asked For It. We have been receiving some questions across email, and I've been soliciting them for topics for me to preach on during the month of November. I have a few already that I'm going to be preaching on, but tonight is number one, and we're going to look at Romans 14. Previous year's messages included genocide, war. What does the Bible say about slavery? Things of that nature. All the hot button issues, and they're up there archived on YouTube. You're able to see them. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19 will be our text verse tonight, but we'll be in this entire chapter at all. If you'll find Romans 14:19, say amen. Let's read it together as a church family, please. Here we go. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Father, we love you. And Father, tonight it is just a joy to know that we can fellowship with you. That Father, when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that when we are clean, you hear and you commune and you interact. And Father, when we're astray, you bring us back. You lovingly rebuke and chasten and scourge that our hearts would turn back so that we can have that fellowship with you. But Father, you also told us that that fellowship can be with each other. And so tonight, help us to do that. Help us to be a church that fellowships and loves and is unified. In Christ's name, amen. The question that came was, God commands unity within the church and the Bible, within the church, and the Bible calls us to have biblical fellowship. What does true biblical fellowship look like? It's a good question. How can we practically seek this in our church and in the community with one another? And how can we grow in intimacy and grow in deeper in our relationships as brothers and sisters? This is a fantastic question. I'll be honest, I don't know that our church necessarily has this as a problem, but I know we've been told by people who visit our church all the time that it's a problem everywhere else. And I'm like, wow, it shouldn't ought to be that way. But that's the question. How do we grow in intimacy with one another? And how do we have that true biblical fellowship and that true biblical unity? Well, it was, you know, why is this a problem? Well, at the time the book of Romans was written, the Jews and Gentiles are now in the church. These are people who not only have racial divisions, they have cultural divisions, they have social economic divisions, and it was in the church. And a lot of times, even today, people cannot rise above their racial background, their traditions, their culture. See, being a church member is like being in a marriage. Keep your hand there in Romans, but jump to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. God uses the church, the husband-wife relationship, to kind of typify his relationship with the church. And so being a member of a local New Testament church is kind of like being married. We're in a relationship. I was having a conversation with one of our dear sisters, and I said, when are you going to join the church? And she said, well, why do I need to? I said, well, that message is coming. You'll get that message again. But suffice to say, we're tired of shacking up. We want to get married. We want you to become part of the family, is what we said. Look what it says here in Ephesians 5:25. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife remember, whenever we see the word like or as, we're talking about simile, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jump down to verse 28. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 33, verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Being married, you know, you're in a relationship with your spouse. You're to have unity. You're to have fellowship. She is your closest neighbor. So all the things Jesus said about how we treat our neighbor starts with wife first and kids second, because they are our closest neighbors. But we're to love one another unconditionally. That's what Ephesians 5 is telling us. We're to love without strings attached. My preacher used to say, warts and all. You get married, it's warts and all. Can anybody else testify to that? Amen. So you got warts. Okay, I didn't know, so don't raise your hand. No, seriously, you accept that person for who they are and the way they are, okay? Church members, did you know that everyone in your church is a sinner just like you? Did you know that?
Is unity a problem in a family? Yes. Can unity be a problem in every church? Yes. Why? Because the church is made up of sinners. Just like your home is made up of sinners. Did you know your little rascals that run around, we call them ankle biters or biscuit grab, whatever you call them, they're little sinners, just like their parents. It's almost heredity. Did you know that dog you got is a sinner? My dog's a sinner. Oh, my dog is a sinner. She ate my Bible. Grace, I can literally say she ate my homework. I'm using one of the older ones that I keep around, and yeah, she ate it. Yeah, I'm looking for a new dog. Got one to give away now. But is that how we feel when our family member crosses us? Hey, I'm ready for a new family. Huh? When a Christian brother or sister gets a little too close to you and they bite you a little or they rub you the wrong way, are you ready for a new one? See, we're all sinners. And why is unity difficult? Because it has to be intentionally maintained, just like a marriage or a relationship has to be. You know, they won't be perfect. None of our church members are perfect. But if your relationship with these people is mechanical, it'll never be what it's supposed to be. Do you know what I mean by mechanical? I mean, you're just going through the motions, being surface, because you're too busy doing your own thing. See, a marriage that's mechanical won't work because you're just two people cohabitating in a house and you never get beyond hello and how are you and how was your day and there's no intimacy. And do you understand? A marriage like that is just mechanical. It's just we're too busy doing our own things. This week I get to do a funeral for a family. They're a sweet family. But what's interesting was the husband and wife separated 30 years ago but never got divorced. They just sort of hung out with each other every day, just had to live in different houses. Now, and that's interesting. That's the third family I've met that way that didn't want to marry anybody else, loved each other, but just could not cohabitate in the same house together. So they'd spend probably 5-6 mornings a week having breakfast and 5-6 evenings a week having dinner, but just couldn't be around each other full time. I think that's why the ABC store was called essential during the quarantine, was because everybody's together. Okay, you'll get that later. It's a liquor store. Okay, is your relationship with God mechanical? Is your relationship with God just surface? You check the boxes because you're too busy doing your own thing. Is your relationship with your church members mechanical? You see, we come to receive from the Lord, but we're also coming to minister to other people. Every time you come to church, it's a ministry opportunity. Yes, you're going to receive from the Word of God, but yes, it's an opportunity for you to minister to someone else, and it needs to be intentional. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. We're going to get back to Romans 14 in just a second. But look at 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter or the charity. The Old English word charity does not mean what it means today. In the Old English, 1611 English, charity meant love that motivates me to act. Because you can give without loving, but if you love somebody, you can't help but give. And charity in 1611 English meant that I am so motivated because of my love, I have to act selflessly on their behalf. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up. It's not about what I'm getting. You seeing a pattern here? Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seek not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. It's intentional, and it is without a performance review. See, being part of a church is like a family, like being part of a family. It's also referred to as being part of a flock, like a flock of sheep. It's like an army. It's like an army. It's organized and it's militant. And a church is like a bride. It's also likened to a building. But as we compare the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to a body, we're going to see that there has to be unity and allow for diversity. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. You're right there in 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 12. Look at it now. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also was Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The church, even though it's got dissimilar parts to it, it is designed to function as a whole. Each part connected through mutual love, design, and purpose. Each member vital to the other one next to it. It's designed to fulfill a purpose when functioning as a whole. Each part intentionally functioning for the betterment of a whole. See, what is cancer? Cancer is just cells in the body that go rogue. They go do their own thing and they don't care how it taxes the body and eventually takes over the vital systems. Any part of the body that goes rogue is like cancer. Any part of the body that prefers to work independent of the whole is like an autoimmune disease where it attacks itself. See, a church is like a body. And to have unity, it's a matter of lordship. Go back to Romans 14 and verse 9. Romans chapter 14 and verse 9. Look what the Bible says. For to this end, Christ died, both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Christ has to be our Lord. If we're going to have unity, it's going to be around the fact that Christ is Lord. Now, it's not a matter of diets. Remember, I talked about traditions, race, culture, things of that nature. Look at verse 1. It's not about diets. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that he eateth. For God hath received him. You know, before COVID, our church looked like heaven. We had folks from just about every continent in the world. And some of them are still very fearful, very concerned about their health, so they'll be back when the Lord leads them and gives them the peace. But it's interesting, they come to us with cultural differences. And there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, international dinner, we enjoy those cultural differences, don't we? And when we get together for fellowships, we enjoy those cultural differences. But do you realize that our bond with each other as church members goes beyond our race? It goes beyond our culture. It goes beyond our family traditions. So it's not a matter of diets. It's not a matter of which day of the week we worship. Look at verse number 5. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What is he saying? Keep the main thing the main thing. How do we have unity in a church? We keep the main thing the main thing. See, rank, race, culture, and traditions are supposed to be left outside. Doesn't matter when you're in here. Doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter who's an officer and who's not. Doesn't matter who's in the corporation or who's in a blue collar job. It doesn't matter. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether you have a shirt with your name tag on it that bears your name, or whether you're somebody in a suit, it doesn't matter. It does not matter because we're all one in Christ. The Spirit brings that bond to the believer. In Ephesians 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, back here in Romans, it says in verse 7 of chapter 15, just go to the next page, look at this. It says we're to receive each other. Do you see this? Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, that word receive, as I was looking it up, it means to bring someone into your space. We think of a hotel that receives guests. They receive them, they bring them in, they serve them, they spend time with them. You understand? Do you have personal space? Do you have personal space? I'm from the cold white north up in Illinois where it just gets frozen, and this is how we hug our grandparents. Hey, good to see you. We don't hug. I mean, we're not all that huggy as northern central Illinoisans out on the farm country. You're from Illinois, Brother Carlson, that may not be your culture, but for the mixed family, hey, what's up? I can remember the first time I hugged my dad. I was 14. I was at a men's thing at the Methodist church and was like, dude, you know, and that was it. Right? Then I moved to El Paso, Texas. Totally different culture. And my personal space went from like a mime to like here. How you doing? Good to see you. How are you? Oh, praise the Lord. Nice to see you. Then I moved to Arkansas, where there is zero personal space. You ever been to Arkansas? Praise the Lord. Jacksonville, Arkansas, man, they walk right up. They hug you. Even the old white men were kissing me on the cheek. They're so excited to meet me on a Sunday morning. Oh, preacher, good to see you. Do you have personal space? To receive someone as a brother or sister of Christ is to, and I'm not talking about hugging, but you get the metaphor. You get the picture. Do you receive people into your personal space or do you keep them out yonder? Hey, good to see you. So, you know, COVID, what's crazy is for introverts and people with big personal space, nothing's really changed. Other than you wear a mask, right? It's like, hey, yeah, we used to do that. We don't even talk. Hey, that's yeah, right? When COVID's over, you're getting a hug. Just saying, I'm huggable. All right, but to think about it, do you receive people like that spiritually? Do you bring them into your space or do you want to just, I just want to come to church, I want to get my Jesus, and I want to go home? You're missing the point of church. You're missing the point. God didn't create church for himself. God is self-existent. The great Jehovah God is the self-existent one. He does not need the church to exist. God was just fine without it. He created the church of Jesus Christ for you and I because we need it. So how do we have fellowship? How do we have that communion, that interaction? Well, number one, race, culture, rank, and traditions need to be left outside. It's called community. But if you break that word down, it means common unity. God wants unity in his churches. God wants his membership of each churches to be bonded together in peace. It's accomplished by the oneness of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, if you'll confess known sin and then and submit yourself verbally, pray and say, Holy Spirit, I'm now submitting myself to you. Use me, guide me, and I will obey. At that moment, you're filled with the Spirit. But now you got to get out of bed and you got to live your day. You're going to get all these different impulses. You're going to meet all these different people. So you have to walk in the Spirit. If everybody's walking in the Spirit, then there's a oneness there because the Spirit binds. You ever heard somebody say that cliche, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you? The Holy Spirit who's in love with God in me loves the Holy Spirit that's in you. You know, the truth is, as we're walking in the unity of the Spirit, we're going to love the people around us. But it's also accomplished by the Word of God. Unity has to be founded upon the Word of God. Jesus said, as I preached on last Sunday, he is the way and he's the truth. If we're not just unified by the Holy Spirit inside us, we got to be unified on the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. These are the common unities of the church family. See, the modern ecumenical movement says, hey, we'll have unity if we just lay down our doctrinal differences. And that's not how it works. If you set aside your doctrinal differences to celebrate tolerance, the Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? People say, well, why don't we do more with other churches? We don't believe like they do. There can only be unity among churches and in churches if it's based on the Scripture. Because unity for the sake of tolerance is treasonous to the Word of God. Do you understand? It's the Word of God that's true. It's not your pastor who's the all-knowing, all-seeing authority of your life. It's the Bible. And if we can't be unified on Jesus, I can't help you. I can't. There's no unity. Unity for the sake of acceptance is treasonous to our Lord's sacrifice. Now, man-made unity was found at the Tower of Babel, and you saw how that worked. And man-made unity will happen again under the leadership of the Antichrist, and it's sooner than you think it is. So how do we receive one another? Remember, to receive one another means to bring them into your space. That means no preferential treatment based on rank, race, ritual, or riches. I love alliteration. That means tradition and finances. Look, take your Bible, look at Romans 14:3. Number one, remember, they're just as saved as you are. Let not him that eateth, look at this, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. God, if he's saved and you're saved, he's just as saved as you are. Just because he don't part his hair the way you do, doesn't matter. He's just as saved as you are. Number two, Their service is not to you. Their service is to the Lord. Look at verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Look, he just saved as you are, and he's not actually serving for your benefit as much as he's doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me rephrase that. Are you serving for the benefit of the Lord? Or are you doing it for the handshake and the hearty pat on the back? Are you doing, I mean, everybody likes to be praised. Everybody likes to be appreciated. But is that what you're doing it for? If you're doing, trust me, you're going to find it hollow and you're going to get tired. You're going to be weary in well-doing, as Galatians 6:9 says. But if you're doing it for Jesus, he's the only one you're trying to please. You can't please everybody. It's madness. But you can try to please Jesus, just one. Number 3, their security is of God. The Bible says that to his own master he standeth or falleth. It's not your place to critique. It's God's. And their stewardship is to God. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12. The Bible says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. It'll all shake out before the Maker. It doesn't have to shake out in front of me. That's why we are to receive one another. That's how you receive one another. You're not responsible for the way they act. You're responsible for you. And if you'll be willing to bring people into your space for the glory of God, we'll have unity. You know, disunity happens today because we're not all walking in the Spirit. So unity is a matter of lordship. That's community or common unity based on Scripture. But it's all based on liberty too. Look at verse 17, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. At that time, some people were saying, listen, I'm going to save a buck and go buy this meat that was sacrificed to idols, because what are they going to do with it? When they're done with it at the end of the day, I got some meat, it hung out, it's ready to eat, and it's cheap. I'll take it. Other people are like, oh, no, that's sacrilegious. Listen, there is room for, there's liberty for diversity in the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. Now, I'm not talking about violating Scripture. We have no liberty to violate the Word of God. But when the Bible is silent, you and I ought to be silent. We shouldn't be put, because what happens is you now become the mouthpiece of God, or you presume to be the mouthpiece of God. That's why I'm not in God's law enforcement agency. Some of you may be in federal law enforcement. Pastor Mix is not in spiritual law enforcement. Why? Because I do not presume to be able to judge righteously as the righteous judge can, and I do not presume upon myself to take the place of God and pass judgment on you. That's not my job. And I'm sure if you reap what you sow, maybe that won't happen to you and I. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they won't do that to me because I'm not trying to do it to you. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. The Bible says in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Remember, to have unity, folks are, if they're saved, they're just as saved as you are. Number 2, if they're serving, they're serving for the Lord and not you. And their security is in God, and their stewardship is to God and for God, not you and I. We are all different, but we're all members of the local New Testament church. That's what we're supposed to be, a member of this local body. We're dependent upon each other. Look at back in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 17. It says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were the hearing, where are the smelling? It means each part is different by design. A lot of times we have to really try to drill this in the heads of my kids or teenagers is, you know, you're different by design. God made you that way. Because in that fashion, you can glorify God like nobody else can. And you're different by you're also a necessary person by design. Each part has to be nurtured to function at its greatest potential. So liberty does have rights. Go back to Romans chapter 14 and verse 14. The Bible says, it says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Meaning diversity is to be expected, and liberty doesn't trump scriptural unity, but God will apply you to lead or will allow you to apply his scriptures to your family specifically. You know, I may not have the same rules at my house you have at your house. I may have different rules at my house than you have at your house because my kids are different than yours are. And my family's different than yours is. Now, I'm not violating scripture, nor am I bending the scripture, nor am I watering it down, doing my best to live it like it says. But you know, if I've got a kid that needs a special attention in a specific way, I may not apply it the way you do, just because I need it to make, like, for instance, it's crazy. Well, I won't go there. But the thing is, there is some liberty here. You don't have to part your hair like I do. You don't have to do it the way I do it. I'm not allowed to violate scripture because you can't violate scripture and win. You can't sin and win. You can't pick a fight with God and have a good outcome. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if you decide you're going to do things just a little differently, if you're painting within the lines, you don't have to look like mine. Liberty also has its responsibilities, though. We're not allowed to use it to sin. Look at verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. There is hard and fast lines. Liberty also has that responsibility. Look at the verse 16 and 17. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because your testimony does speak loudly. Verse 7 says, for none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. But the point of the Christian life is not self. The point of the Christian life is the Savior. The testimony that you have will either lead people to the Lord or away from the Lord. Look at verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And your testimony is still to be lived in righteousness. Look at verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So unity is a matter of lordship, yes, around the word of God. There is liberty in unity, but it's also a matter of love. Look at verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now thou walkest not charitably. That means loving them. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. You know, community in the body of Christ, do you understand it takes intentionality? It takes intentional thought to have harmony in a church, in a home. You have to be intentional about it. It doesn't just happen. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Unity is a matter of love. It's a matter of love. That's what verse 15 is saying. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest not thou charitably. Do you know all souls matter? But all souls matter all the time, or they should matter all the time. You know, the things love will do to your church will do at your home as well. You'll keep your brother from stumbling. Look at Romans 14 and 13. The Bible says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Look at verse 21. It says, it's good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Love will do incredible things to your family and to your church. It also keep your brother from sorrow. Verse 15 talks about that. And it will also keep our brethren from separating from us. Look at verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify. That means build up. That's the definition of edify, to build up one another. But we got to let people grow at their own pace. That's another problem. Unity is destroyed when we don't let people not just answer to their God, but allow God to grow them at their pace. Look at verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Has it been so long that we have forgotten what God brought us from? You've been walking with God for a while. Have you forgot where God found you? Have you forgot the condition you were in when God found you? Have you forgotten what God had to do to get you to be saved? You know, sometimes we need to have that love for others so that they'll understand, look, we've been where you are and we've walked that road. We understand. You know, it'll also keep your brother from being suspicious of you. Look at verse 20. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Sometimes people automatically think you don't like them. Sometimes people just automatically feel like you're judging them. It's their own insecurity. It's not you necessarily. But how do you dispel that? By love. By bringing people into your space and intentionally serving them and intentionally spending time with them and intentionally loving on them. That's how you keep people from letting the devil play Mary Hobb with their emotions and their insecurities. How do you do that? You intentionally love them. Rank, race, culture, political leanings, all of that junk, it remains outside. It don't matter in the kingdom of God. Unity is a matter of lordship around the scripture. It's a matter of liberty and allowing for diversity. It's also a matter of love, but it's also a matter of loyalty. Look at Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong, that means strong in the spirit, strong in the faith, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know, sometimes, well, most of the time, okay, scratch that, all of the time, ministry to others can be very inconvenient. Have you noticed that? People don't have crises while you're on the, I mean, you know, 9 to 5. They have crises at the most inopportune time. When you're in the middle of something, somebody has a need. The problem is, if you're the one who's strong in the faith, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And it's not about pleasing ourselves. It's also about edifying. It's about building others up. Look at verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for the good, for his good, to edification. You know, commitment to the health of your church family requires you to do it on purpose. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You know, we share the same life in Christ. But you know, in our human bodies, if part of it's injured, the whole body grieves. If part of it's sick, the whole body suffers. If one member is growing, it grows the entire body. Maybe that's what God is wanting to do, is work through you to grow others to a place where they can grow other people and grow other people, and on and on and on it goes. That's what edification is. It's the building up, not the tearing down. Look what it says here in verse number 3. Christ is our example, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Bible says that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He wasn't doing the things that were good for him. He was doing it for the good of others. Verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It resulted in unity. Not just in worship, but in the body. Look at verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, at that moment, we're all cooperating and working together. Do you ever have times in your life when parts of your body do not cooperate? Maybe it's your back or maybe it's your knee. I woke up this morning and with arthritis in my hands and I had to get the liniment out and work, and they weren't working. They weren't helping me. I was dropping things in the kitchen and spilling things and trying to work, and I had to get them working again. So unity is, it takes intentionality. How do we have that fellowship, that ongoing intimacy, that ongoing interaction that builds each other up and encourages each other? Well, number one, it's based on the Word of God. We're unified on the Word of God. We allow for others' diversity. We do it intentionally by love. And it's a matter of loyalty. It's the fact that what I'm doing for the Lord is more important than how I feel today, or how I'm being rewarded today, or if I'm rewarded at all. It dawned on me a while ago, the first 10 years or so I was in the ministry, I was in the same go for the gusto, we'll build a 1,000-person church kind of attitude. And then it dawned on me, I really ought to do what God wants me to do, because I'm going to get the same crown as the guys who pastor 10,000. Because it's about reaching souls and creating disciples, that discipline, people who have disciplined themselves to be a follower of Jesus. And in that discipleship, they will reach others for Christ. That's really what I'm supposed to be doing. And it changed my life. Do you know what your assignment is? You're here. God did not misplace you. And as you're assigned to this part of God's vineyard, while you're here, you're to be involved in a local New Testament church, creating unity through love and loyalty and basing it on the Word of God and in the service and building up of others. Let's stand with our heads bent and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father and our God, in the next few moments, let us reflect upon our service to you. Let us reflect upon our relationship with you. And Father, maybe tonight, as I talked about mechanical relationships, maybe tonight it rung true in some of our lives. And Father, I know it's a struggle against the flesh to be intentional in our relationship with you and in our with a relationship with our family and in our relationship with our church family. And ultimately, in a relationship with our community for the cause of Christ. It won't just happen. We have to be purposeful about it. And tonight, Father, I ask you to speak to every heart and every soul. If there's one among us, God, that has not trusted Christ as their Savior, if they died tonight, they're not sure heaven's their home. I ask, God, you'd convince them of their need and convict them of their sin, that they would repent and believe. But for us, your children, Father, it's far more likely that we get busy and lose sight of what true fellowship and unity is. Let us, Father, restart again, afresh and anew, intentionally loving each other in Christ's name. Amen. In the quietness of the moment, do business with God. Whatever he's brought to mind, speak to him and respond. If you're lost and like to be saved, come forward. If you'd like to use the altar and just commune with the Lord, it's available. I'm here to pray with you if you need someone to pray with you. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we are thankful that your word is true from the beginning. And every one of your righteous judgments endureth forever. We are thankful, Father, for your faithfulness, for you are faithful. And Father, we're thankful for your promises that we too can enjoy the unity of the body of Christ as we intentionally love one another. And Father, how we make it about you and not ourselves. And Father, we ask that you would glorify yourself in us and through us, that others would come to know you as Savior because they saw you and experienced your love. And Father, before we go our separate ways tonight, let us be sure and fellowship for a moment and create those bonds of unity. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.